We're looking at sticking to the task, regardless. And the context of the title, I think you've probably figured out that here we have Barnabas and we have Paul and their missions core value team, and they've been traveling. This is the first missionary journey, and they're going to run into all kinds of interesting things as they move to the first cities that they're going to visit and share the gospel. They have troubles ahead of them that we've looked at. There's spiritual warfare that's taking place throughout the trip. And it's something for us to bear in mind. We have spiritual warfare going on every day. The evil one of his best things that he has ever accomplished, and that he's convinced many in the church that there isn't a spiritual war going on. The devil isn't interested, I believe, in anyone in this particular church family. He's more working with people like presidents and prime ministers and higher-ups of countries. But he had gotten himself kicked out of heaven with a third of the angels. Now, they're fallen angels, and we call them demons. And these demons are very much interested in the strategy of their father, and that is Satan, what he wants to see accomplished in the world. And so they're busy, and in our lives, they particularly hate my wife and me. They hate Pastor Eugene. They hate Chris and Barbara Wright. They dislike with great intensity Gary and Elaine Rasmussen because they're the leaders of this church. You raise them up and affirm them. So Satan, they hate these people in your church. They hate those of you in this church who are growing in your faith. And they work against you. They come into your families if you're married with kids, and you can see it taking place. So in this first missionary journey, there is spiritual warfare that this core value team, this mission team, has to be working against. And part of that is in their growing in their relationship with Christ, their DPE, their deep personal experience with him, that intimacy time, the gnosko time that we call it. They're growing. They love him very much. And that will also go a long way in helping you in your journey and adventure as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. They also have geographical challenges that they have to go through. To get over to the island of Cyprus, they needed to rent a boat, rent a ship, buy passage, whatever it was, to get over there to that island. And while they were there, the spiritual warfare came forward in that magician that had the ear of Sergius Paulus, you'll recall. Sergius Paulus was the most powerful Roman official on that island. And he listened attentively to Bar-Jesus. Elymas was his name, you'll recall. And when he began hearing the gospel from Paul, he was very interested. And Elymas worked against it. You don't want to work against God's people, not when they're really full of the Holy Spirit. And Elymas got his backside kicked and was blinded for a time. But the best thing was is that Sergius Paulus, he received the gospel. He confessed his sins. And Jesus Christ became his Lord and his Savior. So there were many coming to faith on the island. So they have geographical things they need to worry, be concerned about. Finances they needed to be concerned about. But they were able to just continue moving along, even through treacherous mountain ranges, to get to Poseidon Antioch, where we found them in the city. Poseidon Antioch, sharing the gospel. They were doing well for a short period of time. The church was planted. Many came to faith in the Lord Jesus, but others stood up against them. And as we know, they were kicked out of that city. But, you see, they were sticking to the task. That didn't slow them up. They stuck to the task regardless of spiritual warfare, geographical mountain ranges they had to go through, meeting with criminals and so forth along the way, bandits and what have you. So I want to encourage you, as we look at this passage, it is not merely a historical account of the church being birthed. It is far more than simply a historical lesson, especially for you who don't like history. It is a life lesson with principles that jump off the page if you look at it and you chew it up in your DPE time. As you meditate on the scripture, you will see yourself in these pages as you move forward. And as you move forward in this text that we're coming back to after many weeks of my being away taking care of Kathy and a short vacation, we have before us the things we need to continue to grow with regard to our positive life transformations. Jesus is very much active through the Holy Spirit in our lives to bring us to being conformed to the image of himself. And this is what our particular community need to see. As I was spending time with our Lord this week, I found myself in the book of Romans in chapter 15, verse 4. And it says there, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. What we've been reading here in the book of Acts, that the Holy Spirit had Luke write for us. He wants to teach us. He wants us to pull out the living, out of this living word, the teaching that is appropriate for Granada Hills Community Church. More specifically, put your first names in there. It is for you and for me to learn, and not only to learn, but then do something about it. Make a difference. Let this positive life transformation be seen in the lives of our spouses, to be seen in the lives of our children, to be seen in the lives of our children for their parents to see. It's a very real thing that we have here for us. And as you come up against setbacks, Kathy and I had a couple of setbacks this summer. But they weren't really setbacks. They were set-ups for something better. He's done marvelous things and helped us to see his grace and his mercy and his tremendous unconditional love in ways we have not seen in our lives in Christ. Just a beautiful thing, and that's what he wants to do for each and every one of you. He wants to change you in such a way that you are more like Jesus. Because if anything America needs today, it's Christ our Lord and strength. But that passage in Romans 15:4 again, such things were written in the scriptures long ago. That's the first century family that we're looking at in the 21st century. And it is appropriate for the 21st century. That's why we still have it, remember? It's given to us for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the men and women of God will be adequately equipped for this world in which we presently need to live in. So such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope. And you know my acrostic for hope. It's hope, optimism, reason to be positive and encouraged because of our marvelous Savior. And scripture gives us hope and encouragement as well as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. So as you can see, here we are in the book of Acts, but Romans speaks to what's going on in the book of Acts, and it speaks to what's going on right now in the 21st century, in the month of September of 2023 to each and every one of us. Our Lord wants very much for you to live an extraordinary life, not some mediocre life, but an extraordinary life in His Son. I mean, think about it. We live in the natural. Jesus lives in the supernatural. And we get to live with Him every day of our lives. G.K. Chesterton, a philosopher and Christian apologist of yesteryear, he passed away in the 1930s. But this writer, he said this, very appropriate for the church. He said, let your religion be less of a theory. Let it be less of a theory and more of a love affair. I like that. Because my relationship that I continuously try to pass on to as many as I can is warm and loving. He is forgiving. He is tremendous. He is absolutely the very, very best. As I've shared with you in months past, as a former old decrepit surfer, he is bodacious. Absolutely the very best. The very best. So let your religion be less of a theory. Let it be less. You know, I know of this God, and I pray to this God, but it's not warm. It's not rich. It's not alive. It's not, wow, today I get to go out and be a son of the Most High God. Today, my Abba is with me through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has plans for my life as a part of the greater whole of the Christian community. And He has a personal plan for me as Ron Seidel. He wants me to be involved in something today. I wonder what it's going to be. Well, this morning I knew what it was going to be. I get to come and chew on you, or hopefully to encourage you. I want you to continue to know better the warmth and the agape love of our Heavenly Father, the phileo love of our wonderful Lord Jesus, and to feel that storge love, to be comfortable with the Holy Spirit, just looking forward to spending the day with Him. I had the joy of taking Kathy down to her high school class reunion yesterday afternoon. And I used joy in biblical sense. I mean, it wasn't happy going. It took nearly 4 hours to get there, going through the wonderful traffic of Los Angeles and Orange County and below. We went to San Clemente. But it was a wonderful time to be there, to see this class that went to Brethren High School, this class of people who came to know the Lord in high school and to love Him and to grow in His grace and His knowledge over all these years. Everybody there was turning or had turned 75 years old. And they're all talking about, you know, hey, you know, when you get to our age, Ron, you know, you'll be really thrilled too. And I said, get to your age? I'm 3 years older than you. So, you know, I robbed the cradle when we got married. But at any rate, it was, you know, it was a beautiful thing. But all these people, you know, they're talking about their high school days, things that have happened since their last five-year class reunion. You know, the class is dwindling. Kath and I are in that last quarter of our years to be here on this planet and to spend time with you. Our time is drawing nigh, so to speak. And that's not a complaint. We will miss you. I'll be surprised to see some of you in heaven, and you'll be surprised I got there too. But nonetheless, it's going to be a sweet time. But you see, Chesterton talks about the church. Don't let your religion be theory. Let it be a love affair. Come to love him. These people were talking about their love for Jesus. They were talking about their love for one another that they all met in high school. It was just a marvelous, marvelous thing. You see, these people were seeking the supremacy of Christ all these years. Wonderful examples. I just enjoyed listening to them, watching them together, seeking the supremacy of Christ over all these years. Well, I left you last time in your notes. We had just gone through the first four verses of Acts. And so very quickly, as we look at Acts, we're in the city of Iconium. The city is a Greco-Roman city, but it doesn't have the architecture that you would see in Rome or that you would see in Athens. I mean, the culture, would, I guess I should say, was Greco-Roman. So they're in Iconium. And once again, they go to the Jewish synagogue, the Jewish house of prayer, the place where Jews come to worship, and God-fearers, those that have been changed from following after the mythological Roman and Greek gods, and now are following after the monotheistic, one Jewish God. And while they're there, they hear the gospel again. People again are responding to the gospel, coming to faith. But the city is split. Many of them like what they hear from Paul and Barnabas and the mission's core value team. The other half, they don't like what they're hearing. But the core value team, it shares here, they were sharing boldly the word of the Lord. So that was then. The question is, what happened? Why isn't the church now sharing boldly the word of the Lord? This is what we're supposed to be doing. And I don't sit here and judge of anyone, but are you? Are you joining the first church? Or are you abstaining? And if you're abstaining, why? Why? If they had not left Syrian Antioch and gone to Cyprus and moved from Cyprus over to Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, climbed those horrendous mountains to go down into the Galatian region where we find Poseidon Antioch, and then like Iconium, if they hadn't done that, we wouldn't have come to faith in Christ. We wouldn't have heard the gospel. You see, it isn't set out for just those two apostles and that core value team. It was set up for all those that came to faith, as I will show you other wondrous things as we move along. In this passage, we saw that our Heavenly Father was confirming the ministry that these folks were on from Syrian Antioch by allowing both these apostles to do marvelous miracles, great miracles, just like Jesus. Ought to have been able to be there then. But it's great to be there now and to see people responding to the gospel, to see these roses move from here over here. Oh, my goodness. No one heard the gospel from GHC Seer this last week. I got halfway through it, but I couldn't share the whole thing because the person needed to move along. I've got to learn how to share it faster, I guess. But I know some of you were going to do that. I received text messages to that effect this week. But at any rate, these are the things we began to see. So, would you show that first photograph up there on the screen, please, of Iconium? I want you to notice, family, here is Iconium. Where is it? That looks like an empty field and a bare hill. Maybe it's on the other side of the hill, you know, between that and the mountain range on the way back around. No, that's not the case. I'll share more about that. Iconium, it laid about 80 miles from Poseidon, Antioch. So we don't know if they're on donkeys. We don't know if they're walking. More than likely, they're walking. I covet those of you that can walk, because I know I look like, he man, yeah, sure. But my hips are worn out. I can't walk for more than 10 or 12 minutes, and I have to sit down. My hips, literally, they feel like they're freezing up because they're worn out, you know, from I've used up the energy pretty much in this old body of mine. But I'm sure at Paul's age and Barnabas, I could have walked that. I know before that I was running 20 miles, or not running, but marching 20 miles in the military. I was jumping out of perfectly good airplanes and having some pretty hard landings and so forth. But they walk 80 miles, I'm guessing, along the Via Sebasti. You'll remember the Via Sebasti. There's a picture in there. We won't go to that picture just yet, but you can see it in your message notes. And that Via Sebasti, that highway, tied together the Roman colonies all along the road and the Roman military bases. If you look at your notes there, it says Iconium had been an important city since its foundation. We don't know what its foundation was. Alexander the Great, born living in 320 BC, much before Paul and Barnabas here, he didn't know who actually started the city. But nonetheless, it's a city that has been important from its foundation. In Paul's day, it was an important Roman military base on the Via Sebasti, controlling settlements along the Anatoly Plateau. And we'll look at that momentarily. The next photograph, if you would put that up there. There's the Via Sebasti that I showed you months ago. That's the modern day Via Sebasti. And it was used till the late 1800s in Turkey. And it's not so bad now if you actually look at it. But the Via Sebasti, the origin, as I say, it's way back in the mist of history and kind of obscure at this point. But when you look at the Via Sebasti, this connected much of the Roman Empire that was east of Rome. So they would go along this way to visit their colonies and to wage wars and bring down rebellions. It went all the way from the west coast of modern-day Turkey all the way to the river Euphrates in Iraq. Now, that's kind of a long highway, but it was well used. And guess who also used it? Our Heavenly Father used it. He used it to dispense the gospel, to send out his missionary, core value missionary teams to take the gospel to other places that they might hear and receive and the church might grow. I mean, it's all part of what Jesus said. I want you to be my witnesses. I want you to go from Jerusalem to Judea, Judea to Samaria, and from Samaria to the remotest parts of the world. Well, the church in Jerusalem kind of got held up, and we had the persecution going on, and so the church really became strong in Syria and Antioch, and they are the ones that first sent out the mission team. But Christians are going all over the place. As I look at that highway, I think of Psalm 109 and verse 1, or excuse me, 119, Psalm 119 and verse 105, where he says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a path, a light to my path." You see, the word is going out. Here's the path, and the light is being carried by those who are missionaries. They're Christians. They're people like you. They're out there on their own Via Sebasti. We have our Via Sebasti. We can call it Balboa, but it's a Via Sebasti. We go out that direction. We go in various communities, and we share the gospel. I mean, I know in my neighborhood that the people directly across the way were Presbyterian. Well, I didn't hold that against them. They still needed to hear the gospel. And the people next to them, they're part of the Orthodox Armenian Church. Well, that's okay, but they still need to hear the gospel. And the people next to them are Seventh-day Adventists. And that's not okay, but, you know, they still need to hear the gospel. The people on the other side of me, they're Catholics. They need to hear the gospel. And so forth. Oh, Russian Orthodox next to them. Do you know your neighborhoods? Do you know your neighbors? Have you shared the gospel with them? You see, you live on the Via Sebasti. Take the gospel to those folks around you. You have that light that will save souls. Next photograph, please. Up there, you can see in the circle, that's the general area where we are with the Missions Core Value team. And that's the Anatolian plate. I'm giving you a geographical map. It was the only one I could really get that would be colorful and point out the area where our team that we're studying presently are in sharing the good news. And they're going to be coming east to your right as they move down. So in the first century AD, Iconium was an agricultural and trade center. That's important, again, because you're going to have people coming from all over the area around the Black Sea and what have you, and the Mediterranean, to trade. And you're going to have Christians in Iconium, and they're going to be sharing the good news. And the gospel is going to continue to go out to the remotest parts of the world. There is a plan here, family. There is a plan. And that's why the Lord brought you to faith in his son. He has a plan exactly for you to share him with those you know and don't know who need him. All this takes place on the Via Sebasti, but there are also five other roads that came to this particular city. So it was a tremendous offering to be able to send out other people to know about Jesus and see people coming to faith. But unfortunately, most of Paul's Iconium no longer exists, just like when I showed you that picture, and you have it in your message notes as well. It's gone for the most part. It's gone. Next photograph, please. You see, most of the city wasn't that wonderful Greco-Roman architecture being used out of granite and marble and such things. It was out of mud and bricks. And that's why it's not here anymore. It wasn't built to last, but it was used. This kind of reminds me of what our Lord was saying in Matthew's gospel. Write this down, will you? Matthew's gospel, chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Matthew is quoting our Lord Jesus, and Jesus says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine," you're listening to the words of Jesus, family. I want to make that clear. It's not Ron's words. It is Jesus' words. Remember, when we read the word of God, whether just in our heads or out loud, it is he who is speaking to us. It's not just a rich novel written by 66 authors. We're talking and listening to our Lord himself. This is what makes it warm and lovely. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine," now get this, "and does them," key, don't listen to any preachers. If you're not going to go do what they say and quoting the word of God, you don't have to do what Ron tells you to do, but we do have to consider doing through obedience, love for him, what he tells us to do. And this is Jesus. And Jesus says, "Whoever then hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man or woman who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall." It kind of reminds me of Kathy and I on Maui this summer, looking out our lanai and seeing the fire just beginning about 5-6 minutes away. Fortunately, it's moving west and south as opposed to west and north. If it had changed to west and north, it would have been coming to burn the timeshare that we have. So here we are, and we have this fire raging. And in just a matter of a few hours, over 24,000 buildings and cars are incinerated. But we're perfectly fine. We're perfectly fine. The wind came and it blew 80 miles per hour plus those flames. And friends of ours at the hotel, you know, we've been going there for 2 decades and we know most of the staff. And they lost their homes. And they lost family members. And I still check on them. And I thought it was pretty wonderful that they include us in their ohana, their family, to make sure we got home okay. They kept calling, just make sure you're okay. I think they were really wanting to make sure Kathy was okay. But the rain fell and the floods came and blew against that house. We had the winds blowing against our timeshare the hotel. We had the winds blowing. There wasn't any rain, unfortunately, but it rained. But it beat against that place, but it didn't fall because it was built right. And Jesus says those who have built their lives upon the rock, they're okay. But it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And great was the fall of Iconia. Great was its fall. It wasn't built strong. The church died over the centuries in Turkey. Islam is their faith. It's gone. It's gone. But what's really gone is the church is gone. The church is us, people like us. We stop loving the Lord over there. We stop sharing his gospel over there. And it's gone. And if you've noticed, the church in America is going away too. But that can be changed. We just have to mimic that little core value team that rattled the world by being sent out from Syria and Antioch to share the gospel. The next photograph, please. I showed this to you before. You know, well, if you look at your notes, when Paul and Barnabas arrived, they went straight to the synagogue, eager to share the good news of a long-awaited Messiah among their countrymen and to proclaim the open arms of God's grace to the God-fearing Gentiles there. The synagogues were all different. You couldn't have a synagogue in a city unless you had at least 10 Jewish men. And here is a cutaway of a Jewish home. You have the area to meet down here and to pray and to read the scriptures. And up here, you had a place for the women, because men and women couldn't worship together then in the Jewish synagogue. But it's a regular house. You have bedrooms up here and storage places and so forth. Kind of like having a shepherd group, a cell group, whatever you want to call it, a Bible study in your own home and invite people to come, to study the word, to pray together over the issues you have, to share the gospel with neighbors in a loving environment, that sort of thing. As in Antioch, their message prompted a large number of people to believe, including God-fearers. They hadn't fully converted to Judaism, but nonetheless they had left their belief in the mythological gods of the Greeks and the Romans. As in Antioch, the Jews who rejected the gospel turned the town against these evangelists. Although the team suffered opposition, resistance, wherever they went. That didn't make any difference. So they stuck to the task regardless. Regardless. So they continued preaching as they had been in Poseidon, Antioch, in Iconium as well, mentioning nothing about miracles in Poseidon, Antioch, but the miracles were taking place here in Iconium. The fact is this, and here's your fill-in. The Holy Spirit gave the men the ability to perform signs and wonders. Verse 3 of chapter 14. As always, miracles, as I said earlier, served to validate their message as divine. This strongly suggests that the mercies were not always a part, the miracles were not always a part of their ministry. It didn't happen everywhere they shared the gospel, and were used only when rebellion was not the reason for unbelief. So in verses 5 through 7, it says, when an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them, Paul, Barnabas, and the core value team, and to stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country. And there they continued to preach the gospel. That's where we'll pick up next time. So family, there's nothing difficult to pick out what's going on here with Paul and Barnabas, and what Paul and Barnabas through the ages, the Holy Spirit really is saying, Ron, it's important that you help your church family to see what I want them to see. Because what took place in the first century needs to take place in the month of September, October, November of 2023, going into 2024. This is about us, our participation. Who is going to be in heaven, family, because of you? Who's going to be there because of you? Think about it. You have the keys to heaven, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you pray every day for people you don't even know, and those especially you do know, and then get the opportunity to share the good news, their lives can change. Your life will become one of those wonderful lives that is being conformed to be like Jesus. Amen. And as you're conformed to be like Jesus, you'll have an impact in the lives of others. A tremendous impact. I have to say, the first time I heard the gospel, I was not impacted. I wanted to run away. And at the end of that evening in Alaska, when my sergeant and his family took me back to base, oh, I was glad to get back to base. I hated Alaska. I was glad to be back to base, though. That guy scared me. Not scared me to want to have the gospel. Just scared me. But one of the things I noticed in my sergeant, he wasn't like my other sergeants or lieutenants. I never heard a foul word come out of his mouth. I never saw him intoxicated. He was a wonderful young man, a faithful young man to his wife. He loved his kids. And it would be years before I put all that together. This was one of God's marvelous opportunities for me to see Jesus Christ alive. because he is. But in the life of a fellow military guy, people need to see Jesus. Be Jesus, family. Be the change you want to see in America through Christ. Be that change. Make that difference. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Oh, Father, wonderful, wonderful Dad. Thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for the wonderful love we receive from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Thank you for loving us in spite of ourselves. Holy Spirit, thank you for putting up for our hurting you with our thoughts, our activities. We're sorry, Holy Spirit, if we've ever quenched you. We want very much to lift you up. We want to look to you, Holy Spirit, to be our leader and our guide. We want you to work on our lives in such a way that you water that spiritual fruit that you brought with you when you came into our lives, when we confessed our sins and repented, when we sought your forgiveness, Lord Jesus, and you gave it to us. And Father God, you made it clear to those who receive your Son, we can be called the children of God. And so we're grateful. You've made it clear that one of our vision and mission statements is that we are to be about the business of fulfilling what Jesus gave us the power to do. To go into our Jerusalem, our Los Angeles, our valley here and share the good news with friends, people we don't know, folks we work with, neighbors, knuckleheads. You want us to share that good news with them. Father, help us, especially those that are not sticking to the task regardless. They found some sort of resistance coming forth. Maybe it's their own thinking that's causing the resistance. Please take it away. Take it away. Help us to stick to the task regardless and share with our unsaved whoever's the gospel, please. May we watch your hand move in each of our GHCC lives and this church family to grow in number, to grow in spiritual growth, to grow in the dispensing of that unconditional love, that forgiveness that's necessary. That the people in this valley will see in us humility and meekness as we seek these other people's very best and greatest good. May any of us who are not speaking boldly for you, Jesus, may that change along with our time alone with you. May we find ourselves in the midst of a love affair, that warmth and that love with you every day, throughout the day. May we take advantage of the Via Sebastes that you placed before us. My church family has been declared by you to be lights unto the world, as you, Lord Jesus, are the light to the world. May they go forward and may people honor you because of what they see concerning you in them. Please, Father. I believe, and so does the church family, Lord. Your word is a lamp to our feet. Now, Father, may you give the chutzpah, whatever it is, Father, to move forward and to do the things that you have taught us this morning. May our faith be seen as light in the eyes of others. May we tear down mud brick houses if that's what we've built. And let us build these houses on your Son. These homes in which the Holy Spirit lives that cannot be brought an evil thing against it. That the demons will be thwarted that try to take my brothers and my sisters down. May they be found to be faithful, my Lord, as you are faithful. So, Father in Christ, I ask that we will be faithful to your leading and that we will do what you ask, not being afraid, knowing that you will give us the power to accomplish all the things you want done. You have said you are going to be with us always, even to the end of the age, end of eternity. That is your promise, and we accept that. You've told us we can do all things through your Son who strengthens us. All the things he wants accomplished, we have no excuse. We are laid bare, naked before you, Father. We can share your gospel. So help us to be successful children of the Most High God. And it's in your Son, our brother's name, we pray. Amen.